The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות.
דף מם ג' תראה, דף is being studied לעילוי נשמת, מרד זקנתי, יפה בת שרה. ומור זקני יוסף בן שרה ורבי אברהם בן אסתר רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן אמן Today's daf is being studied רפואה שלמה שרה רוחמה בת רחל ושרה בת רחל ומשה בן דינה אין לה רפנה להם רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף ורפואתם קרובה לבו וכן ירסום ונאמר אמן We begin today's daf on mem bet amud bet and we are starting on the bottom of the amud the Mishnah quoted what the Kohen Mashuach Milchama used to say when they used to make the announcement to the people when they were going out of the war. And the Mishnah quotes, Ve'atem, i'atem ken, ki Hashem Elohechem, ha'olech imachem, le'ilachem lachem. So the Gemara says, Ve'kol kach lama, which means, what does it mean when it says Hashem Elohechem, ha'olech imachem? Rashi says, the question is like this, look at the Rashi on the bottom, Ve'kol kach lama, אומר להם, ומה יפתחה זו שפתיחן? What is this guarantee that the Kohen Mashuach says, כי השם אלוהיכם עמכם? That would be enough. ומה הליכה זו? דמש מה הולך ממש. It sounds like that God is actually walking with the people in the war. How is God walking in the war? So the Gemara says, מפני שהשם וכל כינויו מונחים בארון. Because he used to take the Aron to the war. And in the Aron was the Luchot, and on the Luchot they had the Shemot of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, "Hayotzei mahem b'melchama," that the Aron that used to go out to war with them says the Shemot of Kedoshim, Havaya, Elokim, different names of God, and therefore the name of God is going out into the war. Munachim mahem comes the Gemara and says, "Vechenu Omer," like the pasuk says, "Vayishlach otam Moshe elef lamateh." Lasava. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sent out to the war of Midian, he sent elef lamateh, 1,000 soldiers per tribe, lasava otam them ve'et pinehas. So the Gemara says on this pasuk, otam, who's otam elu sanhedrin? When it says he sent them, that's referring to the sanhedrin. The Mefarshim say, how do you know that otam is the sanhedrin? Because the pasuk says vayishlach otam Moshe elef lamateh lasava otam. It says otam twice. So the fact that it says Otam twice, we know the Sanhedrin was Keneged Kol Klal Yisrael. The Sanhedrin were equal to all the Jewish people. So when it says Otam, it means the Jewish people. And Otam meaning the Sanhedrin that's equal to all the Jewish people. They were sent out to the war. Pinehas Zeh Mashuach Milchama. Who was the Mashuach Milchama in that war? Pinehas. Dechle HaKodesh Zeh Aron Veluchot Shebo. Dechle Kodesh, that was the Aron that used to go out to fight the wars, which means the Aron used to go out even in Milchemet Mitzvah, which just was Milchemet Mitzvah, the Aron used to go out, the Hasoserot, the Teruah, and the trumpets, Elu HaShofarot, this is referring to the Shofarot, so we see from over here what? That the Aron HaKodesh with the Shemot HaKedoshim used to go out to war with the Jewish people. Comes Gibran and says, Tana, Lo Nechinna Malach Pinehas LeMilchama, which means that war that they fought against Midian, who went? Pinehas. So the question is, why not Yoshua ben Nun? Or how come not Elazar? How come Pinehas was sent to go fight this war? I mean, he wasn't the general. Why was he sent to fight this war? Ela lipara din avi immo. In order to make a judgment with his paternal grandfather, avi immo. Actually, it's his maternal grandfather. grandfather, maternal grandfather. Shnei Emar, v'midyani makru oto el Misrayim. It says by Yosef HaSadiq that the Midyanim sold Yosef to Misrayim. Now, Pinehas, the assumption is that from his mother's side came from Yosef. So if they wanted to take a nekama, they wanted to take a revenge. That you, Midyanim, when Yosef was sold to you, Yosef was probably crying to them, don't sell me to the Misrayim, return me to my father. But they didn't listen. They sold him to Misrayim. So therefore, Pinehas wanted to take revenge against the Midyanim that sold his descendant, or was actually his ancestor, Yosef. Lememra, the Pinehas, Yosef ateh. You tell me that Pinehas comes from Yosef? Ve'haketi ve'l'azar ben Aharon lakah lo mibenot Putiel lo le'isha. It says that El'azar, the son of Aharon, took from the daughters of Putiel for a wife. My love, da'ateh mi'yitro. We know that Pinehas was the son of El'azar. Pinehas ben El'azar ben Aharon HaKohen. And we know El'azar, he went and married from the daughters of Putiel. Who is Putiel? The reason why he calls him Putiel, that El'azar married from the daughters of Putiel. Who's Putiel? The one that fattened up calves for Avodah Zarah. Who was the one that fattened up calves for Avodah Zarah? Yitro. Because we know Yitro worshipped Avodah Zarah. That means El'azar, the father of Pinehas, married into Yitro's family. So therefore that means that that Pinehas' maternal grandfather was from Yitro, not from Yosef. So the Gemara says, lo, mi Yosef, it's from Yosef, shepetpet bi Yisro. That when it says Putiel, Putiel doesn't mean the one that fattened up calves for Avodah Zarah, but Petpet Rashi says Zilzel. It was referring to Yosef. Yosef, he was Mizelzel v'chavash oto, which means he belittled his Yetzer Hara and he conquered it. And therefore we could say that when it says that El'azar married from the Benot Putiel, it's not Yitro Shepitem Agalim, it's Yosef Shepitpet B'Yisro, that he mistreated his Yetzer Hara and he conquered it. So therefore Pinhas came from Yosef. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'alo shevatim mevazim oto. But we know the Gemara says that the tribes, after Pinehas killed Zimri ben Salu, so it says the tribes started to belittle and berate Pinehas. Ve'item ben tfuti zeh, ben shepitem avi emu agalim la'avodat kichavim, yaharog nasim Yisrael. They said, look at this man over here. Is he worthy? The one that comes from the grandfather that worshipped Avodah Zarah, he's going to go now and kill Zimri ben Salu, a tribal leader, which means the Jewish people, they felt that Pinehas was not Lashem Shamayim. They felt that when he killed Zimri, who is he to kill Zimri? That's committing an Avera. He comes from a family of the Avodah Zarah. And who's that? Yitro. So you see from this Gemara that really the paternal or the maternal grandfather of Yitro was Yitro. Of Pinehas was Yitro. It wasn't Yosef. So the Gemara says, Ela, I Abu De'imem Yosef, Imed the Imam Yitro, which means he came from both. If you're going to say his maternal grandfather, that's Abu the Imam, his maternal grandfather came from Yosef, Imed the Imam Yitro. So we'll say his maternal grandmother came from Yitro. Or the opposite, the Imed the Imam Yosef, if his maternal grandmother came from Yosef, Abu the Imam Yitro. So his maternal grandfather came from Yitro, which means really he came from both. He came from Yitro and he came from Yosef, which means on his mother's side, his mother's mother, he maybe was from Yitro, and his father's mother, and his mother's father, I'm sorry, was from Yosef, or the opposite. The point is, on his mother's side, he can come both from Yitro and Yosef. Daikan amed dichtiv mebenot Putiel. It says that El'azar, the father of Pinehas, he took from the daughters of Putiel. If the fact, it could have said over there, it could have said Putiel. From the fact that it said Putiel, that's Lashon Rabim. So therefore, it's mashma that what? It's two Putiels. Putiel number one, the one that was Mifatpet B'Yitro, that's Yosef. And the one that was Mifatim Agalim Avodah Zarah, that is Yitro. So in Echonamir, Kotre Maskanah, the Gemara, Pinehas came from Yitro and Yosef, and therefore he went to take a revenge when he went to fight against Midyan for what they did to his grandfather Yosef, that they sold him, the Midyanim sold him to Misraim. So therefore Pinehas went in order to settle the score what they did to the father. The Gemara is just proving that Pinehas descended from Yosef as well as Yitro. Comes the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, "Vidberu ashoterim el ha'am nemor." And the officers speak to the people and they say, "Miyaish asher bana bayit hadash velo hanako yelech v'yashuv lebeto." So anybody that built a new house and he did not yet inaugurate it yet, so he is able to go back from the war. So the Gemara Mishnah says, "Ehad abone beta teben." Even if he builds a house in order to keep the straw, beta bakar, or a corral in order to keep the animals, beta aitzim in order to keep the wood, beta otzarot, or he builds a storage in order to keep the wine, the yayin, as she says, shemen utwa, or the wheat or the oil. Ehad abone. Not only if he built it, ehad alokeya, if he buys it, it's also a new house. Ehad ayoresh, or he inherited a new house. Ehad shnatan lo matana, or somebody gave him a gift of a new house. These are again the exemptions of those people that do not have to go to war. Somebody that planted a vineyard, and he did not mehalel it yet. What is mehalel it yet? So we know that when a person plants a field, the first 3 years he's not allowed to eat from the fruit. That's called orla. And then in the fourth year it's called neta lebai. In the fourth year he has to take from the fruit and either make a pidyon and take the money to Yerushalayim, or he takes the fruit themselves and brings it to Yerushalayim. So therefore it says, "Mi'aisha shena ta'kerim v'lo chalilo," which means you did not yet reach the fourth year where you were able to benefit and eat from the fruits. For long as you cannot benefit from the fruit that you planted, you're exempt from the war. "Ehad anoteach kerim," for now one, whether he plants a vineyard, "Ehad anoteach hamisha ilanei ma'achal," or for that matter, somebody that plants any grouping of five trees of food, five fruit trees, va'afilu mehameshet aminim, which means even if they are from five different species, they mitzaref, which is even if they're five different fruit, they are mitzaref. Now, Rashi says, "Hamisha ilanei ma'achal de'be'achi abi kerem," which is when the Torah says a kerem, it has to be a minimum size. Shtayim keneged shtayim v'hat yotza zanav kaze. Now she gives us the picture. If you look at the Mishnah, you see two parallel to two, and then one coming out like a tail. That's what a kerem is. So as long as you have five fruit trees in that pattern, so then already, even if they're made from five different species, doesn't matter, it's a kerem, and so long as it's not the fourth year yet, the soldier is exempt, he goes back from the war. Ehad anoteya, whether he planted, vehad mavrich. What is mavrich? Sometimes when a person, he has a plant, so he takes the top of the plant and he bends it over and he places the top of the tree into the ground. That's by that it causes it to sprout again. Then he cuts the middle. Now he has two trees. Again, he takes the tree, it's soft. He bends it over into the ground, so the head of the tree is now in the ground, so it takes root again, and he cuts it. Now he has two trees. That's called mavrich. Ve'had markiv. Markiv means to graft. Grafting means you take from a tree, you make a hole in the tree, you make a nekev, and then you take from another tree, and you put the branch inside of it, and you wrap it together, so now the two trees become one. That is called grafting. So even if the trees are grafted, that is an exemption from the war. Ve'had alokeyah, or whether he buys a field, ve'had ayoresh, or he inherits a field, ve'had shenatan lo matana, or even if he received it as a gift. Umi ha'ish asher eras isha, or for that matter, a person who got engaged. Ve'had me'ares et ha'betula, ve'had me'ares et ha'almana, whether he got married, engaged to an betula, virgin, or an almana, a widow. Afilu shomeret yabam, which means, even let's say, he is a man that his brother died, and now, without children, so he's a shomeret yabam. He's waiting now to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum with his brother's wife, so therefore, he goes back as well. Vafilu shama shemet achiv b'milchama. Even if he heard, let's say, that his brother died in the war, and therefore he has to go back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum, chozer ubalo. He goes back from the war. Now, kol elu, all these that we're talking about over here, shome'im, you have to take out the word ve'elu, shome'im devre kohen, they hear the words of the Kohen when he announces these exemptions, ma'arche milhama, that gives the rules of the war, ve'chozrin, and they go back. However, umsepekin ma'im umazon, but they can't go back home. they have to go back and they give out water and provisions to the army, which means they still have to work, but not in the capacity of soldiers. They work as like in the mess hall. They give out food and things like that. And they also have to fix the road. So you see, it's an exemption from war, but it's not a total exemption where they're able to go home. And the following, they don't even have to go back, which means these guys over here, they have to go to the border, to the sefar, like we said. They go to the border, the Kohen makes an announcement of all the exemptions, and they go back home. The following that the Mishnah is going to list, they don't even have to go to the border. They don't even have to go out to the war. Bichlal, they're exempt in totality. A person builds a house. They're calling it Bet Shaar, which means a with a gate. Aksadra. Aksadra is like a poor. Not Aksadra, but the Aksadra more is like a, it's an open area over there, like a roof without a ma'ke, without a ledge. That's like an aksadra. Umarpes is like a porch that he built, which means any of these items over here, that he built these things over here. Hanoteya. I'm sorry, I'm reading, I'm going again. Ve'elu she'enam chozim. Forgive me, I correct myself. I made a mistake. Ve'elu she'enam chozim. These people do not go back, which means they have to go and fight the war. They do not go back home. They have to stay in the war itself. They have no exemption. Haboneh bet sha'ad. If a person builds a bet sha'ad, what is a bet sha'ad? All these items over here are not really houses. Bet sha'ad is a small little house over there that's in front of the courtyard over there. That's where the Shomer HaPetach sits over there. So it's a small little house. It's really not considered a permanent structure. Aksad, as I told you, is a roof without a ma'keh. Marpeset is a porch. These are not considered houses. So therefore, they are not exempt from war. Hanoteya arba ilane ma'akal. Or he plants, let's say, only four trees. Or hamisha ilane sirak. Or he plants five trees, but they're not fruit trees. Hamahazir et gerushato. Or let's say a person, he got married, but he takes back his gerusha. So that's not a new marriage ready, which means he was divorced, he took back his first wife. Almana le Kohen Gadol, or it's a forbidden marriage. Let's say it's an almana to the Kohen Gadol, gerusha v'halutza le Kohen Ejot, or a gerusha v'halutza to Kohen Ejot, which is also a forbidden marriage. Mamzer v'netina, the Yisrael, or Mamzer v'netina, as we know, these people are forbidden to marry. Yisrael, bat Yisrael le Mamzer, or a daughter of Yisrael to a Mamzer v'netin, lo haya chozer. They do not go back from the wall because these are not considered legal exemptions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af boneh bayit al mechono lo haya chozer, which means even if a person, he took apart his house, and she says, Setro, he demolished his house, ubena'o b'midari shoneh, built it exactly the same measurements as the first house. Eno chozer, delav hadashu, ho'il velo hidesh leosif alav, which means he did not add any thing to the structure. Vafilu etzlo eno hadash vegaram malokeach. Vafilu etzlo eno hadash vegaram malokeach vayoresh. Which is, if a guy bought a new house, even though it's not a new house, to him it's new. Or he inherits a house, to him it's new. But this house of his is not new. He had the house already and he just rebuilt it. But it's the same structure. He didn't even add any rooms. So therefore he is not exempt from the war. The Bili Azir Omer af bone bayit Lebenim b'Sharon lo haya chozer. Sharon is the name of a place. Rashi says Makom hu sheshmo Sharon, on the second column of Rashi. Ve'en akarka yafed lebenim. It doesn't hold the land brick homes. Ve'lo avi davar kayama. It's not going to last that house. Shepa'amayim sarich lehadesha b'shevach shanim, which is every 7 years you have to rebuild it twice. So therefore that's not considered a legitimate house because it keeps on getting destroyed because the land is not sustainable for such type of structures. Lo haya chozer. Ve'elu she'en zazin memekuman. This is what I meant to tell you earlier. The following people, they don't even move from their homes. They don't even have to go out to the war. Bechlal. Till now we discussed the people that go out to the war and they have an exemption. They have to go home and fix the roads and give out food to the people. The second group over there, they got to fight. The third group over there, they don't even have to go out at all. They don't even have to get exempted. They're exempted from the beginning. Who was that? He built the house and he inaugurated it, but he's within the first year, which means the Shanari Shona, he is exempt. She says, Velo dar bo adayin shana. He did not live in the house for a yenata kerem vihalelo, which means he planted a vineyard, but what? The fourth year, it's still the fourth year. So long as within the fourth year you have the mitzvah of Hilul, which means that whole year you can take the fruits up to Yerushalayim and eat it. So once you're in the fourth year, there's a total exemption. If he gets married, in the first case was he only got engaged. This case over here, he actually got married, he consummated, he actually took the Yibama, Shneimar Naki Yelibito Shana Ahat, which means he's going to be clean from his house, which means for his house for one full year. Bishvil Beto, which means Libeto, Bishvil Beto. So comes the Gemara and says, Libeto, Ze Beto, for his house. That means for when he built his house and he didn't live in it for 1 year, he has a total exemption. Yihye, when it says the Pasuk, over there, Naki Yihye, what does the word Yihye mean? Ze Karmo, this is referring to his vineyard, that what she says, Zibuyahu. Hosif lecha havaya acheret liyot kaze. That means what? That means over here, let's just see the text over here that they're bringing down. Why is he here teaching me karmo? Let's see why that should be so. Oh, because the pasuk could have said naki hu. The fact that it says yihye is coming to include another ptur. And what is that? Not only if he wasn't mehanech his house, but if he wasn't mehanech his kerem. That means he has 1 year to enjoy the fourth year fruits of the kerem. So that's what it means. Naki yelebeto means his house. Yihye is referring to the kerem that he also has 1 year exemption. V'simach et ishto, and he will make his wife happy. Zu ishto, that's his wife. That means nesu'in. Asher lakach, that he took. Lavi et yibimto, it's coming to include a different wife. That what? Even the Yivama that he married. And maspiki maimu mazon, they don't even have to supply food. They don't even have to fix the roads. They have a total exemption. So let's just review over here very quickly. Basically, the Mishnah came along and said there are three groups of people that have a subject with the Kohen Mashiach Ben Hamad. The first group over here has a partial exemption. They're patur from fighting, but they still have to do public service. And those are the ones, somebody got engaged, somebody that's building a house yet but did not finish it, or somebody that's in the first 3 years of planting the tree, his field, his kerem, and things like that. So all those people over there have a partial exemption. However, if let's say he marries Be'isur, or he doesn't plant a full-fledged kerem, or he builds a non-house structure, he just builds like a shed or things like that, a porch, he has no exemption, he must go out to fight. However, once the house is built and he didn't live in it for a year, he has a full exemption, he doesn't have to do anything, he doesn't even have to go out to the war, bichlal, or he gets married, or takes a yibama, or things like that, or he's in the fourth year of his kerem, he is totally exempt. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Now the Gemara is going to analyze what exactly is said over here. It says that the officers, they were the ones that would speak to the soldiers before they would go out to the war. Would they say their own things? Which means, do the shotrim have their own script? They read their own words? It says that the shotrim add. Hare devarim shel atzman amur, which is mashma that they add to what the Kohen says. That means they must be saying their own stuff, and then they add. Hare devarim shel atzman amur, which means they must be adding to what the Kohen said. Ha ma'ani mekayem v'dibiru ashoterim. What does it mean? V'dibiru ashoterim b'divrei mashuach melchama katuv v'daber. Which means the shoterim repeat to the soldiers what the mashuach melchama said. Which means like this. Basically, there's three situations the Gemara is going to say. Haketzad kohen medaber v'shoter mashmiya. Which means initially the kohen speaks and he gives them certain words, and the shoterim go around to the soldiers and they are mashmiya. They voice exactly what the kohen mashuach melchama said. So it comes out that the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, the Gemara is going to say, says his own words, and then he goes around and is going to publicize his own words to the people. Then it's going to say the Kohen Mashuach Melchama says words that the Shoter goes around to publicize, and then the Yasefu HaShoterim, they say their own words. The Gemara is going to explain that right now. Tani Ahada, we have one Brayta that says, Kohen Medaber V'Shoter Mashmiya. The Kohen speaks, And the shoter goes around to publicize the words. That the Kohen himself speaks, and the Kohen goes around and publicizes his own word. The shoter himself speaks, and the shoter himself publicizes the words. How do we mikayim all these words? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, "Bevinigash ve'ad v'dibiru Kohen medaber v'Kohen mashmiya." Now, I'd like you to go back in your books. You should have a paragraph of the Pesukim of Kohen Mashmiya Malchamas. It's the Devarim Chaf, Pesukim Aleph to Tet. The Pasuk says, Ki tetzela milchama lo yebecha, ve'ra'ita sus v'rechev amra v'mecha, lo tira mehem, ki adonai elohecha imach, ha'ma'alcha me'eris Mitzrayim, ve'haya, and it'll be, ki karuvchem el ha'milchama. Now, v'nigash ha'kohen, v'dibir el ha'am. The Kohen goes and he speaks to the people. What does he say? Ve'amar alehem. I'm reading the Pesukim. Shema Yisrael, atem kerevim ayom lemelchama aloi bechem. Al yerach lebavchem. Don't be scared. Al tireu v'abtachbezu v'abtacharsu b'nehem. Do not be scared like we learned on yesterday's daf. Ki Adonai lechem aolechem achem. Lillachem lachem imoi bechem. No shi'adchem. Because God is going to help you and fight and beat the enemies. That the Kohen himself says, and he himself publicized. That's only his item. Nobody else says it. Then what happens? Now, Kohen medaber v'chem Hashem, medaberu ad v'yasefu. Now, from the next pesukim that says, medaberu ashoterim elaham, that the Kohanim say, Kohen medaber v'shomer mashmiya. And then after the Kohen says it, the shoter goes around and publicizes. Now, what does the pesuk say? Medaberu ashoterim elaham lemor, miyaish asher abana bayit hadash shohanachu, who built a new house and did not yet inaugurate it. Yerech v'yashom lebeto, pen yamut b'melachma, because we don't want him to die in the war, and somebody else is going to inaugurate it instead of him. Miyaish asher natach kerem, v'lo halilo yerech v'yashom lebeto, pen yamut b'melachma, v'yishay li halilenu. ומייש אשר אירס אישה ולא לקחה ילך וישוב לביתו פן ימות במלחמה ואיש אחר יקחנה. So that the Kohen says it and the shoter is משמיע. And then the Gemara says, מביאספו ואילך. And then from the word, the פסוק of ויאספו, which says in the פסוק, ויאספו השוטרים לדבר אל העם ואמרו מייש הירא ורח הלבב. Whoever scared from averot that they made, yedek v'yashov lebeto, v'lo yemaset leba v'ahad kilbamon. He should not soften the hearts of his brothers like he is. That is what shoten medaber v'shoten mashmiya. So basically, you have over here, Rabotai, three different stages of the speech that is made at the milchama. First, you have the opening statement of Shema Yisrael that's made by the Kohen, and he says it, and he broadcasts it, we'll say, to the whole nation. And then you have the exemptions. That is said by the Kohen and then repeated and broadcasted to the people by the Shotrim. Then you have the statement that says, Mi'aisha yarev racha levad, that whoever is scared of any sins they commit, they can also go back home. That is said by the Shotrim and broadcasted by the Shotrim as well. Now the Gemara goes and discusses the exemption of building a new house. Mi'aisha asher bana bayit hadash, who is the person that built a new house? Taruna banan, asher bana. Somebody had built. Eli Ela Asher Bana. Not only talks about where he built it. Lakah v'yarash. Or let's say he bought it. Or he inherited. V'nitan no b'matana minayin. Or let's say he bought it. He got it as a gift. How do you know he's also exempt? Tamud Omar mi ha'ish Asher Bana bayit. Because it says ha'ish. It could have said mi Asher Bana bayit. The fact is mi ha'ish. It's a ribui. To come along and say that anybody that got it, whether he got it as a gift, or he got it as a matana, or he got it, he bought it, or he got it as a yerusha. In the end, buy it. That only teaches me a house. Minayin rabot, bet ha-tevin, or bet ha-bakar, or bet ha-aisim. How do you know that even the house that's built for straw, not for residency, or for bakar, for the animals, or bet ha-aisim, or for wood, or bet ha-tzot, or to store wine, or oil, or tebuah, Tamud Omar Asher Bana Mikol Makom. Because the Pasuk, Mi Aish Asher Bana. Now if it says Asher Bana, I mean he built anything, which means any type of structure. Yachosh Shani Marbe Afabone Bet Shahar Achsada Bapeset. You're going to tell me any structure, even a Bet Shahar that's a little hut that they built for the security guard. Or Achsada has the roof without a Marpeset, without a Marqueh. Or Marpeset is a porch. Tamud Omar Bayit. It has to be a house. Ma Bayit Haroli Dira. Just like a house has to be befitting for dwelling, so to any type of structure that has to be ra'ui for dwelling. Now let's read Rashi. Rashi's in the second column. Mi ha'ish, ribuyahu, dematzi lemichtav de pasuk, could have said, mi asher bana, umidelo ketiv asher bana. bayit bana, the fact the pasuk does not say umiya ish asher bayit bana, it says asher bana bayit. So you read it like this: when it says bana mikol makom, which means any type of house, which means whether it's bet tevin, whether it's bet bakar and things like that, asher bana. Then it says, wait, but it has to be a bayit. What does a bayit mean? There has to be a structure, just like a as opposed to a temporary structure, which would be like an aksadra mapeset, that what has to be at least ra'uy for dwelling. It has to be ra'uy for people living. And these people over there, as she says, which means, yeah, you're able to walk in them, but you cannot live in those areas. As she says, what is bet shar? Bet kinisat shar yahasil istofef sham shomer ha-petah. That's the area, a little hut in the beginning, or a little room in the beginning of the house. That's where the shomer ha-petah, the guard, sits. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer bayit kemashma'o, which means when it says in the pasuk bayit, he says it has to be mamash a bayit, and he does not have any of the other exemptions, which means it has to be a regular house, not bet tevin, not bet osarot, you're not niftar. It has to be a regular house. He learned it from the word bayit. That says lo hanach. It says mi ha'ish asher banabat velo hanacho. So the Gemara says lo hanach velo hanacho. What is hanacho? He did not inaugurate it. Prat legazlan. It's coming to exclude somebody that stole the house. Which means if he stole the house, he's not patur from going out through. Only if a person owns it, he's exempt. But if he stole it, he's not exempt. The Gemara says, who says this is the B? Nema delok Rabbi Yosef Galili. Let us say that this last thing that says if a person steals a house, he's not exempt, and we learn that from the pasuk Hanacho. It's not like Rabbi Yosef. Dehi Rabbi Yosef Galili ha amar verach alevav zeh mityare me'averot shebiyado, which is already, we have that exemption already, because it says mi'aisha yireh alevav. And Rabbi Yosef Galili says, what do you mean he's scared? He's scared from averot. So obviously if a person stole a house, he's exempted from the fact that he has an averah. So what do you need another what do you need another exemption from the word hanacho? It's already exempted from the word yareb rachalebab. So therefore that statement that exempts a stolen house from hanacho cannot be going like Rabbi Yosef Galili. Because afilu tema Rabbi Yosef Galili, it could even be going like Rabbi Yosef Kegon de'avad teshuvah, that the guy stole the house and he made teshuvah. How did he make teshuvah? He paid the money. Now, if that's the case, if he paid them, he's like he bought it. And we know if a guy buys a new house, so he's exempt. Since it came to his hand initially, even though he paid for it later, Torah says hanacho. It has to be his house as opposed to a house that is stolen. So that is the deen of the Gemara, that a stolen house, even if he pays for it after, it's not considered like he bought it. Guy buys a house from scratch, it's new to him, he's exempt. Mashiachin, when he stole it, then he pays for it too late. Once he stole it, he's not exempt from the pasuk that says hanacho. Even though it's not a sin, it's not averah shebiyado, because he made teshuvah, but still he is, I'm sorry, and still he is not exempt from the war. That is not exempt. Such a house, even though he pays for it, that is not exempted because initially it came to his hand. And who's the person that planted a vineyard? Tanu Rabbanan. Asher Nata. Eli Ela Nata. That's only talking about a person who planted a vineyard. Lakah. Let's say he bought a vineyard. Yarash, he inherited. Vinitan lo b'matana, he got it as a gift. Minayin, how do you know that he's exempt as well? Tamud lomar, umi ya'ish asher nata kerem. That says ish. It could have just said umi asher nata kerem. From the fact that it says mi ya'ish, it's coming to include even those cases. Eni ela kerem. Maybe that's all about a vineyard, grapes. Minayin l'rabot hamisha ilanei ma'achal. How do you know that so many, any five trees of ma'achal, v'afilu mishar minim, even if they're from different species, tamud lomar, Asher Nata. The fact that it says Asher Nata, whoever planted, it doesn't say Asher Kerem Nata. It says Asher Nata Kerem. Nata meaning Mikol Makom. Yachol Shani Marbea Notei Arba'ay Lanim Achal. Well, when it says Asher Nata, any planting, maybe it even means four trees of fruit. The Hamisha Ilane Sarak, or maybe five trees that do not produce fruit. Tamud Omar Kerem. That has to be like a Kerem. And just like a vineyard has at least five saplings, five trees, so too, the minimum is five fruit trees that bear fruit, as we said. Come to Gemara Zabili. Yaakov Omer. kerem kemashma'o. He says no. Just like he said bayit is bayit kemashma'o, he says kerem also is kemashma'o, which is only a vineyard is an exemption, no other type of trees. Now the pasuk says lo chilel velo chilelo. The pasuk says velo chilelo, and he did not make chilul yet, which means it didn't come the fourth year yet. We had a chance to make pidyon on the fruit yet. So comes the Gemara and says it's coming to minimize chilelo. This one chilelo, he didn't make chilul on this to exclude a different type of prat. Lemavrich velemarkiv. Oh, it comes to tell us over in the Braita that somebody that is mavrich, that we said is, he didn't plant, he actually took the tree that was there and he put the top of it in the ground. Or markiv is grafting, he is not exempt from the war. So therefore, halelo, this tree, but as opposed to another tree, is not going to exempt him. And what tree is that? A mavrich and a markiv. Okay, brothers, what are you talking about? Our Mishnah said on the contrary, that mavrich and markiv is an exemption. So we have a stira between the Braita and the Mishnah. Amar bizera, amar b'chazda, lakashya. Kan barkavat isur, kan barkavat yeter. Which means, when he grafts bi'isur, what does it mean you graft bi'isur? Which means you graft two different species. It's a suit to graft two different species. So that's not considered planting, and therefore it's not going to be an exemption. Also, when do we say that he has an exemption? When he grafted min b'mino. When he grafted two like species, which is mutar in such a way, so such a grafting is considered a planting, and therefore it's going to exempt him from the war. So the Gemara says, wait, hay harkabat heter hechidame. Give me the case how he grafted heter b'heter. Yeah, we crafted something better. Ilima yalda bi yalda. Now, when it says yalda, it means a tree within the first 3 years. That's a young tree, it's a baby. Now, if he grafted one yalda, one tree, we'll call it a yalda, right? A small tree. It's not yet old, it's within 3 years. You grafted it in another yalda. Tipukle deba'im mehedar mishum yalda rishona. Forget about the grafting. He's exempt anyway because he has the first tree. The first tree is a small tree within 3 years. And we said that until he makes chalul, he's exempt. So what do you have to come on to see that he's exempt because he grafted? Even if he didn't graft, he's exempt from the first tree. Ela yalda biskena. Oh, Ela must be talking about where he grafted a young tree in an old tree. And therefore the assumption is what? That since he grafted the young tree into the old tree, so now the Hiddush is what? He's going to be exempt. Gemara says, what do you mean? Why is he going to be exempt? V'amar Rabbi Abu, yalda shesbecha b'skena, batla yalda b'skena. V'en badin orla. When you graft a young tree in an old tree, it takes on the law of an old tree. And therefore, since it takes on the law of an old tree, even though you grafted it with a young tree, there's no din orla. It's an old tree. Orla was finished. Netarevai is finished. And therefore, you're not going to be exempt. So therefore, that cannot be the case either, that you grafted a young tree into an old tree, because when you graft young into old, it has a din of old. Therefore, the orla is finished, the netarev is finished. So what's the case of harkavat yeter? Amar b'irmiya le'olam yalda b'yalda. I'll tell you, it's talking about two young trees. You grafted one young tree into another young tree. So we said, what do you mean? You patur already from the first tree. Right? Because within 3 years. Uchkon denata le'achkamaita le'siyag ul'korot. Oh, which means, when do we say that a tree is subject to the laws of Orla and the laws of Netarevai? That's only when you're planting it la'achila, when you're planting it to eat the fruit. However, we're talking about a guy planted a tree over here. Let's say he had a fence and there was a hole in the fence. So he planted a tree in the hole over there so it'll grow and block the breach. Or let's say he planted a tree to use its wood. In that case over there, there's no deen of Orla. So a tree like that normally would not exempt from the war. So what do we do? If let's say a person plants a tree to breach the fence, or he does it for the lumber, patur mina orla. He's exempt from the orla. Oh, so therefore what did he do? He took a yalda. That means a tree that was exempt from orla. So such a tree over there would not exempt him from the war. But what did he do? He took another yalda and he grafted into that tree now. So when he grafts the fruit tree into the tree for the lumber or the tree for the breech, so now that's considered heter beter. So therefore the grafting is going to be poteri, because he's from the first yalda, he's not patur, because there's no orla, there's no netarevai in that case. He's only exempt because we tell the guy, you're exempt from what till you benefit from the fruit. But since this is not hayav in orla, these things over there, so there's no deen at all. So therefore he's not exempt from the war. Also, what exempts him? Once they graft graft. I mean, they took a yalda, they put it in this tree that he planted for breaching purposes, to breach the fence. So the chadush over there is that the grafting is going to be poterim. Okay, Gemara says, what do you mean? Umay shina yalda b'skina de batla, umay shina yalda de lo batla. You just told me that when you put a yalda in a zikina, we treat it like a zikina. So the same thing over here, when you put the fruit tree into this tree over here, which is also a fruit tree, but you planted it for breaching purposes, so it should have a deen of no orla also. Which means you told me the law is that just like the yalda is batel to the zikina, so I should say the tree that you grafted into, that should be the primary tree, and therefore it has a deen of a tree of siyag, and therefore it should be patur from orla, and therefore you should not be exempted from the war. Gebras ha'atam im mamlich ala la bat mehedadi. She's by a zikina, you can't change your mind on a zikina. It is what it is. It's an old tree. It's past 4 years. And therefore, there's no way you can make for an old tree a young tree. Therefore, when you put the young tree into the old tree overpowers it, and is a deal of a zikina. Hacha im mamlich ala bat mehedaru. Which means, but in this case over here, if he would change his mind, let's say he planted the tree initially, let's say, to breach a fence. And then he changes his mind after he plants. You know, I want to use it for the fruit. You can change your mind in such a case. And therefore, since you can change your mind in such a case, it can become now hayav in orla. So therefore, when you're going to put a fruit tree into that tree, it's going to, now, not going to be batel. Since it's bat mi'ikar, you can change it, so therefore it's going to take the deen of the new tree. Mi'ikara le'perikai mamim. Which means, initially, it has fruit. It's just you didn't have kavana for the fruit. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, look on the Rashi, Hatam, first column, Hatam. Hatam gabe zekena la bat imluchei. Which means that you cannot change your mind. La hazor v'liot yalda. You can't make a zekena yalda. Al shum machshava. Aval natua o nata lesiyag. Let's say you planted it to breach a fence. Im mamlich ala betoch shnei olaf. You changed your mind within the first 3 years. Lekayama leperot hayevet be'ola. So it changes its item. Hilkach yalda de kamarkiv begava la achila. When you put this harkava of a fruit tree that you planted for eating purpose, and you made harkava in there, hayevet be'ola. Vafagav de lo emnich akamaita. Even though you didn't change your mind on the first tree, hamia la achilau. It's already standing for achila. Umahanya machshava teikar dida name, which means, and the machshava and the harkava is going to help the tree that you grafted it into. Because why? Yava hashiv alei. Because even initially, if you would have machshava to make it a fruit tree for eating purposes, it would have worked. Hashiv alav imane machshava vafagav nimshad etia alav lahachilat av. And the Gemara brings from there, that's the Gemara Zaya, that when you put it in a zikena, you can't change a zikena. It is what it is. Mashiach, when you put a yalda into a zikena, the yalda, I'm sorry, when you put a yalda into a yalda, but the original tree you planted for not eating purposes, you planted it for wood, so normally it's patur from Allah. But since you were able to change your mahshava if you did so, and it is a fruit tree after all, so therefore when you graft into that tree, so now it's like you change the mahshava into a fruit tree, and therefore you're going to be exempt from the war, because now it's going to be hayav in Orlan. The Gemara says, like a case where you have a tree that grew by itself, there was no mahshava at all. You have a tree that grew by itself, that's not. If it grows by itself, it's hayav be'orla. Why? Because it's la'ui to be like that, so therefore it's going to be hayav, so it's not going to be worse than that, which even when they planted, they had no kavana, but still, it's going to work. So comes the Gemara and says, what do you have to give a case like this, where you took one tree into another tree, and you made harkava, and it's talking about a case over there, that the first tree over there was talking about where you planted it for wood, and therefore it's patur, and therefore you have to go to the war, and therefore the harkava is poter you. What do you have to give that case? Veluk me bekerem shel shnei shutafim. Which means, let's talk about a case where you have a kerem, a vineyard that belongs to two partners. Dehai hadar adide, dehai hadar adide. That each one will go back for his own item. What does that mean? Look at Rashi in the bottom. Veluk me bekerem shel shnei shutafim. Lamani lehadur ashinu yadichika benu tayal lesiyagul korot. We have to give a case like this where you planted for non-food purposes, then you want to change it to an arkaba. Luke me, it's a simple case. Benu tayal achila. You planted it for achila purposes. Udekashi alach. Tipu klim mishum devayle medar mishum lishona. So you said, what do you need arkaba for? He's patur because the first tree is yalda. Lishni kegon shanitiyat shel reuven. we'll say the case is talking about that the tree belonged to Reuven, and Shimon came and made the Arkaba, liyot perot Arkaba shelo. So therefore, on the first tree, Shimon is not exempt from the first tree. It's not his tree. But the tree that he was marki, meaning he grafted into that tree, that's his grafting. So therefore, that's the case, which means he's patur from the yalda, the first one, but he's going to be, I'm sorry, he's hayav to go to the war from the first tree, because the first tree is not his. He cannot be exempt from war. Shimon cannot be exempt from war on the tree of Reuven. But once he was markiv in it, so therefore will be exempt from the fact that he was markiv. So why don't you say that case? So the Gemara says, Zoto amara papa, Zoto meret. And therefore the Gemara says, Dehai hadar adide, which means Reuven will be exempt from the Niti'ah, and Shimon will be exempt from the Harkaba. Dehai hadar adide. Amara papa zot omeret kerim sheshne shutafim en hozrim ala marcha milhamas. You see from over here, the reason why the Gemara didn't bring this case, because when they're partners on a tree, partners are not exempt. Therefore the guy that was markiv into the Uven's tree, since there's a partnership in that tree, there is no exemption. That's why the Gemara did not give that case. What's the difference in a case like this? You have, let's say, five brothers. That they all went out to war. And one of them died in the war. Dechulan Hozrin. All the other four brothers go back. Why? Because they're all potentially able to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum now on their sister-in-law. So that's like a partnership over there. So you see, the partnership of Yibum exempts the brothers. So therefore, why doesn't the partnership in Nitiot exempt the Noteya and the Markiv? Hatam kol had ve'had karinan be'ishto. Haka kol had ve'had lo karinan be'karmo. Which means, by the case of Yibum, each brother potentially, that's considered his wife. So the Torah says, you go back for your wife. Each one's potentially called his wife, because potentially he's going to marry her. But she'enkin, in a case of partnership, it's not called karmo, b'si'ut, it's a shutafut. And therefore, this is a shutafut, there is no exemption on a shutafut. But she'enkin, the partnership of a Yibum, each one can consider that lady his wife to make an exemption. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak comes along and says, that I'll give you the case, that what? That it said in the Mishnah, that if a person grants, he's going to go back. What's the case? B'markiv ilan b'yarak. Oh, it's talking about over here where he grafted a tree with a vegetable. Now she says, "Hi, diktani matnitin markiv chozer b'markiv ilan b'yarak delo ba'el mehedar mishum kama." Which means on vegetables you don't go back. That's not considered a tree. So therefore, from the vegetable standpoint, you're not going to go back. So that's why, even though it's within the first 3 years. However, when you took the vegetable, you grafted it into the tree. So on the grafting, that's what's going to make you be exempt. She says, "Mishum kama v'im tomar mim b'she'enu minohu." So what do you mean? But that type of grafting is asur, because it's vegetable in a fruit. Vimatale harkabat isur. That's already harkabat isur. Mevelo chadelo prat mevrich umarkiv. Haytanau damar muta. This shita's all that grafting in min cheno mimino be yarak is muta. So therefore, it's heter beheter yarak with perot. Oh, so from the yarak, you're not going to be patur, because that's considered a netia. So therefore, from that standpoint, you have to go to the war. Once you grafted it, then already going to be patur. V'ay tanahu detanya hamavrich ilan biyarak. Rabban Shimon Gamaliel matir. Rabban Shimon says it's mutar. Therefore, he's going to be exempt. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamda ish kvar ako. In the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamda ish kvar ako. V'hachamim oslim. Comes the Gemara and says, ki atar avdimi. When avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, he said the name of Rabbi Yohanan. Hamani, who's the author of the Braita? Which is the Braita that said what? That a Mavrich and a Markiv goes to the war against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said a Markiv and a Mavrich is patur from the war. However, the Braita said he goes out to war. Who's the author of that Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovi. Which means, Lo amar bi Eliezer ben Yaakov atam kerim kemashma'o, hachanami neta kemashma'o, note ya'in Mavrich u Markiv lo. Just like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, when he said earlier in the Mishnah, he said that when it says the word kerim, kerem, only a kerem. It means only a vineyard. So too, when it says the word nata, he takes it literally. Only when you plant. to exclude Arkava and Havracha. So therefore, he'll be the author of the Braita. So it comes out we have two answers how to answer the Braita. The Braita said that you do not go back for grafting. Either I can tell you something, the Ezra ben Yaakov, that says you only go back for Niti'ah Mamash, just like he learns the word Kerem, is Kerem Mamash, Niti'ah Niti'ah Mamash. Or I can say, like I said earlier, the Gemara answer that I was talking about, Harkabat Isur Bi Isur. Also, since you made an Isur over there, so therefore you're not going to go back. And the Mishnah, I'll tell you, is going what? Either it's Harkabat Heter Bi Heter, right? We'll talk cases where it's Mutar Bi Mutar, a Yalda into a Yalda. What's the case? The case is talking about where you took a Yalda, a regular fruit tree that you planted for fruit, and you grafted into a tree that you grafted, that you planted for wood, which normally you wouldn't be exempt, but to the grafting that is going to exempt you. Or I could tell you that the case is talking about, it was a kerem shel shnei shutafim. It was a kerem of two partners, and therefore the hidush is that Reuven, let's say, is going to be patur from the nitiyah of his tree, and Shimon is patur when he makes the havracha into the tree of Reuven. That's another case of heter beheter. Why the havracha is going to be poterim? Comes to Gemara and says a new law. Ki atar avdimi amar b'yuhana mishum rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov yalda pehuta mitefav. You have a tree. And the tree is a very short tree. It doesn't grow that much. It's a very small tree. It doesn't grow more than a tefach. Hayevet be'orla kol shenoteha. Even though it's after the third year, still the fruits are forbidden. Why? L'chaura, after the third year, it should be mutar. You know why? Dimitchazia kebat shata. Because marit ayin. The tree is very small, so the people are going to think that it's only a one-year-old tree. The guy's going to see him eating the fruits. They're going to say, what do you mean? The guy's eating fruits of orla. So therefore, on the marit ayin, a small tree that doesn't grow more than the tefach, the deen is that it's hayevet be'orla all its existence. V'animili shtayim keneged shtayim. That's all you're talking about in a kerem. That's a small kerem. They have two trees against two trees and one of a tail, like the picture in the Shia and Amud Lishon. Two against two and then, you know, a fifth one coming out. Aval kule kerem? But if the whole kerem is a short, midget kerem of one tefah, kana itle. Everybody knows about it, which is such a thing as so many trees. People know that really it's an older vine, an older field. It's just that the trees grow small, so nobody's going to worry about marit ayin. You only worry about marit ayin on a small amount of trees where there's no voice, where there's no talking. Nobody knows about a little couple of trees. But if you have a whole vineyard of trees like that are short or small, everybody knows that it's really an older field, just they grow short. Therefore, there's a cold, therefore you don't have to worry about marit ayin. Ketar abdini amar abi yochanan mishum nabi Eliezer ben Yaakov met tofes arba amot nekiriyat shema. That Chas v'Shalom, there's a mit, you're not allowed to read Kiriyat Shema within four amot of the mit. Dichtiv lo'eg la'rash heref osehu. That Chas v'Shalom, you're making fun of the dead. As if you're saying, you can't read Kiriyat Shema and I can. And therefore, you're causing him to Chas v'Shalom have complaints against God. Heref osehu. So therefore, you're not allowed to read Kiriyat Shema within four amot of a mit. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Hurgeta is a stepdaughter, which is a lady gets married and she brings into her marriage a daughter. Higagedela ben ha'achim. Right? She goes into a marriage and the guy that she marries has sons from a different lady. So technically they're not related. Our stepdaughter and his, now her husband's sons, they're not related, but if she grows up together in the same house with them, asura linaseh la'ahim, it's forbidden for her to get married to the brothers. Why? It looks like her sister. Nobody knows that it's a step daughter, or a daughter from a different, from the wife's daughter. So therefore, if they're living together in the house, they cannot get married, because people are going to think that they're marrying the sister. Vilahi, the Gemara says that's not so. Kana itle lemilta. That on such a thing, there's a call. Everybody knows when somebody gets married that this is from one marriage and this children are from another marriage, and therefore he says, indeed, it is mutar. Let's say the anim, they collect their entitlements. It's called leket shecha upea. Now the law is that the anim are patur from ma'asro. Leket shecha upea is patur from ma'asir. So they collected it. However, sha'asa'an begorin, let's say they made a pile. They piled them all up. Now normally the halakha says when a person takes a product from the field, that makes a pile. Once you make the pile, you hayav in giving masrot. Hadush over is even naked shchal peah. Now they made it into a pile. The people are going to think that it's regular product. They're going to say, oh, he has to give masrot on it. Therefore, marit ayin, you have to give masrot even on naked shchal peah. Once you make it into a Payol Amar Ula, lo Amaran Ela Basadeh. That's only talking about when you're doing it in the field. Aval Ba'ir, but in the field, but in the city, Kala it le limilta. There's a voice that comes out. What is the voice called? Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, which means in the field they don't know that it's like a chal pe'ah, the ta'anim brought a little at a time in. They say it grew over there, they made a pile. In the city they see the ani brought a little in at a time, and everybody knows that the ani brought a little in at a time, they see that it's like a chal pe'ah, eventually he put it into a pile, but they know it emanated from like a patur min ma'aser. And how do you know like a patur min ma'aser? Kidiktanya bisufri uba halevi ki en lo helik benahala imach, which means the levi comes and takes a helik, he takes a piece of the action because he does not have a helik. בדבר שאין לו בו חלק בנחלה עמך, הוא בא ונוטל מעשר ראשון שלו, יצא לקט שכרה ופאה שיש לו חלק בנחלה עמך, שאף לעניים לוויים הם מופקרים כשאר עניי ישראל. Which means, the Levi only takes a piece of מעשר on property that does not, have a חלק in. But property that he has a חלק in, he does not take. Which property that is a חלק in? לקט שכרה ופאה. How does the Levi have a chelik? If a Levi is an ani, he's not ten like a chal pe'ah. So it says, ki en lo chelik. He only takes ma'asir on the property that he has no share in. But property that he has sheikhut to, like a chal pe'ah, where he can go take it because he's a Levi, he'd be able to take it. So therefore, there is no chayuv of ma'asir on that subject. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.